All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report. And it's May 16th, 2021. And this is Brad. And I'm here in the U.S. now. I was in South Africa up until a couple of weeks ago. And boy, I had an amazing experience, a deep mystical experience about the decision to return to the U.S. I've been in South Africa for a year and a half with Leslie, with my beloved Leslie, and got such a clear inner prompting that it was time to return to the U.S. And the reasons weren't fully clear. So I was being asked to walk on my faith and to just follow the guidance. And I'm sure most of you know how that works. You know, when you get that really, really strong feeling, even if there's not necessarily a logical reason to follow it, that it's really important to follow your heart and to, to do what the guidance is suggesting. So I actually started getting the guidance back in December, and I kind of waited. You know, I just waited a long time to make sure it was not just something else. And it got more intense, and, you know, the desire, the intuition, the strong feeling to return to the United States after a year and a half away just got stronger and stronger with time until finally, at the end of April, I just got a very, very clear message. Now is the time. You've got to go. Go travel back to the United States. So so Leslie is still in South Africa, and she's very, very well supported by our little spiritual community there. We have a beautiful, beautiful group of people in the sacred circle there in South Africa that Leslie is a part of. And so I felt comfortable leaving, knowing that Leslie was well cared for, and that that I needed to come back to the United States to see what this is about, this inner prompting to come is about. So I'm on a journey, like most everybody I know. We're being guided in ways right now that sometimes we're just not entirely sure what that's about. But you know, if you've been on the spiritual path for any length of time, you know how important it is to follow the guidance. So I don't know my plans. I'm here in Florida. I was gifted a beautiful condominium near the Gulf of Mexico. It's an empty condominium that belongs to a friend of mine, and just nobody here for a while. So I've got a beautiful space to myself, and this is one of my favorite places to be, near the water. I love the water, especially the Gulf of Mexico. So anyway, I'm here. I've been invited to lead some retreats, and there are no plans to lead any retreats yet. But I would imagine that, you know, if and when retreats can happen again, that's partly why I'm here, is to be leading events again. And you know, I know that a lot of people just don't feel it's time yet, don't feel ready to gather in person yet. And yet there, you know, some places are starting to open up a bit more, and certainly here in Florida it's very different than the rest of the country. I know that it's never really shut down, and people are gathering here and things are happening. So I know that's starting to open up in other parts of the country too. So I guess I would just like to say that I'm really happy to be back. I'm really happy to be here in the United States again after 18 months away. And you know, if you'd like to have a Core Light event in your area, let me know, and we can talk about the possibility of that as things open up again. So Leslie is with us energetically. I'm just not in the same physical space as Leslie right now. And I know, you know, if you've been on these calls for any length of time, you know how that works, that there is no such thing as time and space, and at this other level that we operate in, at the level of energy. So Leslie is with us energetically and, you know, is sending us the healing energy. And even though we're not, Leslie and I are not physically in the same space, you know, that's how this works. We still receive the transmission wherever we are. And whether you're listening to this call now, live, or in the future, it doesn't really matter, because at that level, there is no time and space. So I'd like to just take this moment to welcome everybody new to Core Light, and also welcome back to everybody who's been with us for a while. So if you're new, the way these calls work is that Leslie remains in silence and she gives the transmission of healing energy. And I'm the one doing the talking, and I start by offering a guided meditation, and then we speak a bit about the prevailing energies. And we look at how that's affecting all of us, and we also look at the spiritual principles that that are the most helpful to us right now. So we also have time at the end of these calls for questions and answers and sharing, and so you're always invited to send an email in advance and share or ask a question, and we get to as many of them as we can. And if you are on the web call, you can also type questions in on the Q&A board. And I'm sorry if you're calling in by phone, there's no way to do that. And also sometimes at the end of the calls, I don't have the wherewithal to read all the questions. So my apologies for that. The best way to do it is if you have something you really want to share or ask is to send it in advance by email. And you send it to courses@corelight.org. courses@corelight.org. And then we close the session with a prayer or a brief guided meditation or whatever we have time for. And we try to keep the calls to roughly 2 hours, and sometimes they go a little long. But if you need to leave before the call ends, it's not a problem. You can always listen to the recording later. And we do send the link out to the mailing list afterwards. And it's also, we post it on YouTube as well. So you can either re-listen, or if you missed it, then you can get it later by recording. Okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and begin with our guided meditation for today. So I invite you to close your eyes and get comfortable and relax. And let's begin with some long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing in the light and the life force that surrounds you. Breathing out any tension or shadow that your body might be holding on to. And let's continue our breathing long and slow and deep. And while you do that, I'm just going to turn my phone off, which I forgot to do, so excuse me for a moment. Breathing in this present moment and breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Just being right here, right now, nowhere else to go, nothing to do. Just being present with your spiritual journey, giving this time to yourself to focus on you. Focus on your well-being. To focus on your deep relaxation and letting go. Breathing in the relaxation deep down into your belly. And breathing out all the stale air in the bottom of the lungs. Breathing out the stress. Let's continue our breathing while we relax all the muscles of the body from head to toes. And let's all feel, as we breathe, feel a warm liquid pouring over the top of the head like honey, relaxing all of the muscles that it touches. So relaxing the scalp, relaxing the forehead, and letting this honey pour over the eyebrows down into your eye sockets. Relaxing the eyeballs, letting them fall back in. Just letting go of all the tension we hold around the eyes. Feeling this warm honey pouring over the rest of your head, your face, and your back of your head. Feeling the nose and the cheeks and the mouth and the ears, back of the head, the jaw. All deeply relaxing and letting go. Relaxing the neck, the shoulders. Feeling the warm honey pouring over your shoulders. Relaxing all the muscles. Feeling it pouring down your arms, relaxing your arms all the way down to the wrists and the hands and fingers. Just letting go. Feeling the honey pouring over your chest and your back. Just relaxing your whole torso. Remembering your breathing. Breathing in the light, breathing out any shadow or tension. Feeling the relaxation pouring down your body, down the stomach, down the lower back. Deeply, deeply letting go. Feeling an ever deepening peace, relaxation. As this warmth passes over your body, relaxing the hips and the pelvis, buttocks, the whole pelvic region, especially the psoas muscles that run down the front of the hips on the right and the left. Feeling the warm honey pouring down your legs, calves, hamstrings, front of the legs as well, all the way down to the ankles, the feet, and the toes. Just deeply, deeply letting all the stress melt away. Relaxing completely. So I'll be quiet for a few moments and let's all scan our bodies again from head to toes, just letting go of any place that we still might be holding on to tension. as you breathe, as you continue to relax and let go with each exhale, I invite you to go yin, as we call it, to just feel yin as the receptive quality, so to feel that receptivity in the body with deep relaxation. Just allowing this beautiful transmission of healing energy to pour into the body. So I invite you to just receive right now. Just relax and receive the light and the love and the healing energy that's pouring in. And just a reminder that even if you're listening to this call as a recording in the future, you're still part of the field. We're all co-creating this field of love and light. Leslie is sending us the healing energy, and we all also co-create this field together. And at this level of reality, beyond the third dimension, there is no such thing as time and space. So we're all participating, receiving, feeling the field, becoming one with the field, even though we're in different physical locations and possibly in different time space locations. So don't overthink this. Just let that go if you're cogitating on that, and just come back into the feeling level of receiving and allowing. Just allowing healing to take place in your body. Nobody's doing anything. This is not a doing, this is just a being. Just being present with what is. And allowing your own body to be, to feel, to receive. And let's all take a moment to focus on the root chakra at the base of the spine. And it's okay if you're not familiar with chakras or you don't feel your root chakra. You can just visualize and set the intention that that's what you'd like, and it will happen, even if you can't feel it. The root chakra is at the base of the spine, at the place called the perineum. And if you just gently put your awareness there, you can sometimes, if you're sensitive, you can feel it just relax. And naturally, that opens the root chakra. Just by putting your attention there and relaxing, just feel the surrender that happens when you put your attention on the root chakra. Deep letting go. And let's drop our grounding cords down into the center of the earth, connecting with the core of the earth. I feel the grounding, anchoring energy that's there. Feel gravity gently pulling you towards the center of the earth, and feel the earth supporting you from beneath in the form of the chair or the floor. Just letting go and just relaxing into that support. Feel Mother Earth beneath you, supporting you, cradling you in her arms like a mother cradles a little baby. So just relax like a little baby. Feel how safe you are in this place, in the arms of the mother. Just let go. Nothing that can harm you right now. You're warm and you're safe. You can just relax completely. And let's draw that earth energy up into the body through the soles of the feet, up the legs. As we relax and let go, just feel yourself merging with this beautiful, grounding earth energy. And let's draw that beautiful, relaxing, anchoring earth energy up the body, all the way up the core of the body. The core is known in Sanskrit as the Sushumna. In case you're new to Core Light and you've never heard these terms, the Sushumna is the core of light within us, the core of enlightenment within each one of us. And it looks like a tube of light running right in front of the spine from crown to root and beyond. It also goes down below the root into the earth, and it goes up above the head. So let's draw the energy up the core all the way up to the top of the head where the crown chakra is, sitting on the top of our heads like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And let's open the crown chakra. And again, it's okay if you've never done this or you don't know how, you don't need to. You just set the intention that that's what you'd like, and it just naturally happens whether you can feel it or not. So you can just say, I will my crown chakra to open. And if you're sensitive, you start to feel it. You can feel it like a sombrero on the top of the head. You feel that energy extending out beyond the cranium. And you might, on my end, you might be hearing the locusts or the birds. I'm in a very beautiful place here in South Florida, surrounded by beautiful big trees with Spanish moss, beautiful sunshine and blue sky. It's very peaceful, relaxing, a lot of bird song and crickets and locusts singing. I always find that the flying beings, I can feel them in the crown chakra. So if you're hearing bird song where you live, or you can hear it on my side, or the chirping of the crickets, the cicadas, just see if you can feel them in your crown chakra. They tend to help open the crown chakra, reminding us of our celestial connections. So feel the crown opening up like a thousand-petaled lotus on the top of the head, unfurling petal by petal. And again, it's okay if you don't feel this, just visualize it and set the intention that one day you want to feel it, and you will. So let's allow the crown to open up petal by petal, opening up and out like a funnel, opening up and out on top of the head. And let's send the energy of the core, the Shoshumna, straight up and out the top of the head, out into the celestial realms, out into formless space. And feel yourself connecting with the celestial realms, Father Sky, Great Spirit. You might find yourself connecting with a galaxy, a spiral galaxy, or a star, or a group of angels or celestial beings. Let's feel the cosmic energy, the celestial energy of whatever it is you're connecting with, pouring down into the body. It's a very high vibration. It's a very pure, loving, luminous energy. And we're drawing that down into the body. You might see the hands of a bunch of spiritual guides pouring energy down into the top of your head. Whatever it is that you feel, just bring that divine energy down into your body from above. Feel yourself filling up. You can visualize it as a golden white light. Maybe it's like a rain or a mist that's pouring down, filling you up, filling up your body and your aura. Beautiful, blissful, peaceful, golden energy. Feel it filling up your body all the way down to your feet and toes. Feel your trillions of cells in your body like miniature sponges soaking up the light, filling you up so much. And it goes down your arms, into your hands and fingers, and the light begins to shoot out the tips of your fingers, filling up your legs all the way down to your feet, and the light fills you up so much that it shoots out the tips of your toes. Just feel how radiant you are as you fill up with this beautiful energy from above and the earth energy from below. Mother Earth and Father Sky, the Great Spirit, all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support, filling us up. Just take it in. Give yourself this moment to really fill up. So while you fill up with this beautiful light, I'm going to say a prayer and an invocation for our call today. So we call on the light. We call on the spark of eternity that we all are. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you in. We welcome you into our sacred circle. And I invite everybody on the call to either silently or out loud, if you're alone, you can call in your own guides and teachers who surround you in the highest love and support. Let's all do that right now if you feel comfortable and you'd like to do that. So we invite you all in, all the guides and teachers who surround us in the highest love and support. We welcome you to our sacred circle, and we ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light and love and healing energy. Fill us up today as we gather here. Guide our conversation into the highest love and the highest wisdom. Hold our hands as we walk this path during these challenging times, these times of change. You might hear an airplane flying overhead right now. Speaking of birds, the great iron bird in the sky speaks to us, reminding us we can fly. The bird medicine must be with us today. So we ask that you hold our hands as we walk this path into our soul's highest purpose. And we give thanks. We offer deepest gratitude for this opportunity to share our love today, to be part of this field in the core light, to share our hearts with each other. I know it's easier for me because I can see, I know many of the people calling in, I can see many of the people who are calling in, and I know many of the people who listen later, so it's easier for me to be aware of the field, but just know that there are hundreds of people participating. We always have quite a few listening live, but mainly people listen later, and it's usually a few hundred people. So they're all over the world. So we are a community worldwide holding the light together. We've got this beautiful field that we are holding and that we are receiving as well. The love and the light of this field we receive. So we're grateful for this opportunity. We're grateful for the love and the light that we're surrounded by and the healing energy that we receive during these calls. And I invite you, even during the talking, to remain in this state of receptivity. And you can remain meditative even when we talk. Even if you're multitasking, which I know most everybody needs to do. So I invite you to just remember to receive and try to keep your mind quiet, which supports the receiving of this beautiful healing energy. So we give thanks. We give thanks for all that we receive and for the love that we share. And we also today we ask for a special blessing for this earth. And we share our field of love with the earth and all her ecosystems, plants, animals, the whole natural world and all humanity. We share our love and our light with all life, recognizing that we are all one, all connected. And that we are all made of the same substance, which can only be described as love. That's who we truly are, and our essence is love, as is everything, is nothing that is not love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alala ho. Oh, isn't it wonderful? So I invite you now to slowly bring your awareness back into the room and into your body and slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes and feel relaxed and joyful. You might have a smile on your face. The deep peace is so important. The deep relaxation and the deep peace gives rise to the joy. So I find that so important nowadays to really practice the relaxation as much as possible. So excuse me for just a minute. I'm going to take a sip of water before we get started here. Okay. And I have to say, I'm just so happy to be back in the United States. And I can tell you, it's a very, very different place after having been away for a year and a half. Not the same. To say the least. So I honor, we have a community all over the world, and I know a lot of people from other countries, but I have to say that I know most people in the Corlett community are in the United States, and I want to honor you. It's challenging everywhere, and I know that it's especially hard in the United States. It has been, for various reasons. And yet there's something happening here that's very special, and I'm very happy to be part of it with you. And I'm sitting here, as I said, in Florida now. I've been gifted this beautiful empty apartment for a little while. I don't know how long. I don't have plans. I don't know how long I'll be here or where I'm going next, but I know Spirit is in charge. I feel a little bit like a pawn on a chessboard. How many people can resonate with that? If you've ever been guided to just walk on your faith and go somewhere, well, that's many of us are having that happen right now, but that's what's happened to me, and I've followed the guidance. I'm here in Florida, and I'm looking out at the most beautiful view. I'm surrounded by trees, and it reminds me of my childhood in Louisiana. I grew up for a few years. Part of my childhood was spent in southern Louisiana, and these gorgeous banyan trees and cypress trees and live oaks that are full of Spanish moss. It's just so beautiful, so relaxing. And I love the weather here. It's so warm and humid and peaceful. So I'm looking out at this gorgeous spring day, beautiful blue sky with white puffy clouds, and palm trees gently swaying in the breeze. So I'm sharing some of that Florida energy with you right now. Very happy to be here. I feel very blessed. I wanted to start today with a quote by John Lennon. John Lennon said, "When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grow up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment. And I told them they didn't understand life." I love that quote. So I picked that out today because I got such a clear message to spend some time today talking about joy. And I know we often talk about joy on these calls. We often talk about how joy is the highest manifestation of the spiritual journey. It's the highest vibration that we can be living. And yet, it's sometimes really challenging to get there. We don't know how to get there. How can we live in joy when it seems like the world around us is crashing? Or, you know, we see so many people in a really difficult place, or when we're going through a very difficult time. So I know that that's what I felt when I returned to, I could feel this from South Africa, and probably most of you feel it too, but I feel it especially in this country. And that is that there's essentially a war in consciousness happening. And I hate to use that word, but you know, I feel like we need to call it what it is. And it is, it's a war in consciousness where we're being invited into polarity all the time. And this is our great opportunity to choose differently, to choose those qualities of connection and peace. whenever we're encouraged to choose separation and division. And I think what's really important to talk about in this conversation is that so much depends on how we see the world. What is our view of the world? And if we took a poll of everybody on the planet, which is what, about, I think it's a little under 8 billion people right now, there would be essentially 8 billion different views of the world. And everybody would be correct in their view, because we each have our own experience and we've each got our own facts to back up our opinions and to back up how we see things and to back up the way that we are saying that the world is. So in essence, we're all correct. And if you think about it, like when I sit with that, I just think, my goodness, how amazing is that? You know, that there's literally one set of facts, but 8 billion different stories, 8 billion different opinions of how the world is, and these 8 billion different viewpoints of what's going on in the world, and everybody's correct. So it really makes us realize that there's a certain subjectivity, I guess you could say, a certain subjective quality to our experience of the world. So it's really like almost completely how we choose to see the world. That's what this is about. So we can each ask ourselves the question, how do we choose to see the world? What am I choosing from my experience? So when was the last time that you asked yourself that? And I would invite you, maybe as a home practice for the next month until we have the next call, you could be asking yourself daily, what am I choosing today? How am I choosing to see the world today? And as a part of that, you know, we can ask ourselves, well, how often am I choosing fear and worry and separation and anger and those kinds of negative things? And how often am I choosing connection and love and joy and the higher qualities? And I guess, you know, one of the main purposes of the exercise is to remember that it's a choice, that we can't control what's happening in the world, but we can certainly control how we're responding to what's happening, to all of the experiences that we're having. And as I said, we're all being encouraged right now to choose separation, to see differences, and to separate, and to choose division, and even hatred, and even anger, and all the negative qualities. And have you noticed how that's ramping up, how that's growing in intensity? It's not getting any easier. It's not getting any less intense. It's actually growing. So really important to witness this right now, to just be aware that that's what's unfolding. And it's not just right now. I mean, this has been happening for a really long time. You know, for years and years, we've been encouraged into the different polarizations. And, you know, during the age of patriarchy, the last 6,000 years, it's especially been the separation between masculine and feminine energies, between male and female, between yin and yang, and between rich and poor, you know, the hierarchy that comes with patriarchy, and black and white, you know, the different races being polarized, and nationalism, my country against any foreigners. And more recently, it's been growing in intensity between liberal and conservative. And, you know, now, of course, it's wearing masks versus not wearing masks, and getting vaccinated versus not getting vaccinated. And so if we're on a path of raising consciousness, which, you know, if you're listening to this call, of course you are, I feel like it's especially important that we realize that we're facing this choice all the time, and to be asking ourselves every moment, what are we choosing? And, you know, if you've been around Core Light any length of time, you know that it's the practice that we call witnessing, and we talk about it often on these calls, so I won't go into it in depth here, but It's in our book, The Marriage of Spirit, Leslie's and my book, The Marriage of Spirit. And in essence, it's really just about being mindful and being aware of what we're thinking, what we're feeling, our actions, you know, what's happening in each moment. And being in what we call the neutral observer, observing ourselves throughout the day from a neutral place and asking the questions, what's happening right now? Are we engaged in some kind of habit, some kind of habitual way of thinking and being in the world? Are we living by rote? Or are we able to wake up in this moment to our habits and our routines and to change, you know, to shift the things that aren't serving our highest purpose? That's really what this practice of witnessing is about. So it's an important thing to remember that we have that choice. That is the choice in every moment. And the stronger that our witness gets, and there are witnessing practices we can do to help us with this, but that's how we can choose in the moment. Whether do we want to choose division and anger, which we're all being encouraged to do right now, or can we choose differently? Can we wake up to the fact that we even have a choice? And I know, you know, so many people have been in depression and despair about the state of the world, especially over the last year or so. And it's important that, you know, even as intense as that is and as difficult as it is to be in those states, it's important to remember that that's also a choice. And there are ways out of those states, practices we can do to shift that energy. So through these practices, you know, so much of the path is about shifting our attitude, shifting the attitude into a positive one. And it is possible to choose those states, to choose things like joy and hope and love and the higher qualities. And I want to just be very clear, because I know this conversation that we have from time to time on these calls can be misunderstood. So I'm not saying that we should go around being joy Nazis. I somebody else used that term. I'm sorry for using that term, but essentially somebody who, you know, if you're in a room of people who are really experiencing something like a death in the family, or there's a room full of people who are really suffering from a recent loss or whatever, you know, you don't want to go bopping around making everybody try to feel joyful. That's not going to go down very well. So I'm not talking about that. I'm also not talking about negating the suffering of other people, you know, saying that there's only joy and you shouldn't be suffering. We're talking there about compassion. It's really important to remember compassion for anybody who's in pain or suffering. And there's one other thing to say here before we move on. I just want to be clear. I'm not talking about suppression or denial or avoidance. And that's sometimes known as being a Pollyanna. If you're not an American, you may not have heard that term, but it just essentially means suppression and denial and avoidance. And it's not what I'm talking about. That's essentially spiritual bypassing. And I guess, let me just say one more word about Pollyanna. I know I talked about this maybe a year or so ago, but it might be worth a reminder that if you never read the book or watched the movie Pollyanna from whenever it was, the 50s or the 60s or whenever, it's actually, you know, it's become a derogatory term to call somebody a Pollyanna, meaning they're in denial. And just trying to always be positive without actually acknowledging the negative. But in reality, that story is full of very high spiritual truths. And it's essentially what we're talking about today. It's about the choice that we have without going into suppression or denial or avoidance. we're talking about choosing a higher frequency. And so so it's actually unfair that the way Pollyanna has been treated. She was this child in the story who went around helping the adults to snap out of their negative states. And so, you know, she brought joy and love and a, like a childlike innocence to situations and, you know, helping people. And so that's a very high spiritual principle. So if you haven't ever seen the movie or read the book, I recommend it. Or if it's been a long time, you know, go back and watch it and you'll see what I mean. Isn't it amazing that it's become a derogatory term? And yes, it's important to acknowledge the shadow. You know, certainly, you know, you've been around Correlate any length of time, you know that that's not what we do. The path is about facing ourselves in the mirror and acknowledging, working with the shadow. But there comes a point where you need to let it go and you move into these higher qualities. So it reminds me, I had a conversation many years ago with a little boy. He was about 10 years old. We were on the phone. I was in South, it's actually my nephew. I was in South Africa and I was talking to him on the phone. And I was asking him about his day, you know, how are you doing? What did you do today? And he was telling me, and he said, well, what about you? What did you do today? And I had had one of those days where I was mostly at my desk having to crunch numbers and do a lot of admin kind of work at the computer. And I said, I found myself just by habit saying, oh, you wouldn't want to know about my day. It was boring. It would bore you or something like that. And he said, oh, no, no, I'm not bored by anything. Everything interests me. And I stopped in my tracks and I remembered that movie, Pollyanna, because that's the quality of childhood. It's that childlike innocence that we all had at one point where nothing was boring. Everything was interesting. And he taught me a great lesson, just like Pollyanna taught the adults a lesson. And it's to remember our innocence, to remember that quality that the Zen masters call beginner's mind, which is where everything's new. You know, there's nothing that's not new. And we can see everything with fresh eyes, even if we've done it a million times, even if we have a program that tells us it's dull or boring or whatever. So I remember in that moment, I made a commitment to shift that pattern. And I'm not saying I'm complete with it, but I certainly am much better at it. And I, you know, I tend to remember that boring is just an opposite. It's a, we have a pair of opposites in boring and fun and routine versus creative, you know, and we tend to polarize in that way. So shifting that pattern is very important in this journey. And so I bring that up because it ties into what we're talking about here, that what we're encouraged right now to believe about the world, this is a question. What is it? What are we being encouraged to believe about the world? And do we want to see it as a place of disease and death and war and chaos? And whatever. Well, I mean, we can, because those things certainly exist. But actually, if you think about it, the vast majority of the people on the planet are actually healthy and vibrant and living in peace. And so if we're focused on the other side, what is that about? And so likewise, do we believe that there's one political party or one race or one gender or one authority figure to blame for the problems in the world? Well, we can, and if we choose to, but if we took a poll of 8 million people on the planet, we'd see that most people have their opinion and a whole lot of other people have the exact opposite opinion, and everybody has the facts to back up their opinion. So in a sense, everyone would be correct. But again, it's all a choice of how we want to view the world. So I say this as it's kind of an exercise, you know, to bring this up, because if I would pose to you that if you feel like you're somebody who's not able to get into a joyful state, I would invite you to focus on that and see what that's about. And maybe if you find yourself in that category, if you're not able to get in joy, or you're not experiencing joy as much as you'd like to, even, that there's a path to get there, that we can absolutely get there. And it begins with relaxation. You know, joy comes from relaxation. Relaxation builds to the quality of inner peace. And so if you're not in joy as much as you'd like, to focus maybe on those qualities first is building your path towards joy. So whether you're focused on manifesting joy, or you maybe need to start with focusing on just deeper relaxation, or finding a new level of inner peace. But you need to be the one to find out what is your next step. Where do you need to focus in order to create more joy in your life? It might be doing an act of creativity. We talked about this the last few months, that there's a huge energy right now supporting anyone who wants to engage in any kind of creative act. So if you have the opportunity to do something creative, even if it's painting or doodling or, you know, something small, we're not necessarily talking about having to, you know, create a worldwide movement or anything grandiose like that. We're just talking about a simple act of creativity of some kind. That helps create joy. And and I know some people have trouble with joy, so forgive me, but I really want to stress this point. I know that some people have a lot of trouble when I talk about joy, because they say, well, you know, there's so many people suffering in the world. How can I possibly be in joy? And I would invite you to question that and to ask yourself, you know, what is the actual greatest gift you can give the world right now? Is it jumping down into a pit with people who are suffering? Or could you rather remain in your joy and stand up on the edge of the pit and reach your hand down to help them out of the pit? Because joy will do that. If you've ever been joyful around people who aren't, but who are receptive to it, you know, who aren't immediately out of a grief situation or something, or immersed in a grief situation, if you're joyful, it's contagious. You know, science has proven smiles are contagious. When you smile at somebody, they naturally smile back most of the time. Even if they're not happy, they will smile back. And that's because there are hormones in the brain that get released. When you put a smile on your face, or when you see a smile on someone else's face, the brain says, oh, something joyful must be happening. Therefore, let's release the joy hormones. And so, you know, smiling, spreading your joy, telling a joke, laughing, spreading joy in some way is a great way to spread a high vibration in the world. And that might be the greatest gift we can give the world, to whatever degree you're capable of being in that. So again, we come back to the question, what are we choosing? How are we choosing to spend our time? And I think the next question becomes, how do we navigate through the world where there's so many people having a challenging time? And also, you know, we're navigating through a world where, how do I say this? Where so many people are emphatic that their view of the world is the right view, is the only view. How many of you are experiencing that right now? I don't know, but I would say the vast majority of people I meet have a viewpoint of the world and they're not afraid to tell you, and it is the right viewpoint. It's the only viewpoint. So how do we navigate through that world? And I don't claim to have all the answers, but certainly there are practices that are very helpful with that. And number one, I would say, is stop trying to convince the other people that you're right. Because if you've been on the other side of that, you know that that doesn't go very well. You can't really convince anybody of anything at the moment. It's like, you know, we've all got our opinions and we're right. Maybe not you guys on this call. Forgive me if that's not you, but I'm just saying. I would say one of the practices is about listening rather than talking. I've found that to be really helpful, to just not speak whatever my opinion might be, but simply to listen and let others talk. And, you know, you don't want to be a doormat if somebody's spewing anger and negativity all over you. You, of course, want to get out of that situation in some way. But I'm just talking about being compassionate and listening. And witnessing, that's another, of course, that's the other practice. And witnessing means not judging other people for their opinions. And remembering that they're right, you know, given what we've been talking about, or given the fact that they're basing their opinions on their own experiences and on the media that they gravitate towards, they have the facts to back up their opinions that they are right. So we can't judge them because they are right. Oh God, it's a crazy time, but really, isn't this true? So, so let's see, another practice. I just want to keep moving. There's a lot we could say here, but I would also add that going on news fasts is very important. Just stopping watching, stopping reading the so-called news, or if you choose to, make sure you're watching and viewing everything, reading everything from both sides, from liberal, from conservative, so-called, whatever that happens to be, and everything in between, so that you can see what people are being fed. And we are being fed all these different things. And recognizing that we're being manipulated. You know, that this is clearly a manipulation to have such polarized viewpoints, and that we're being encouraged by whichever media we take in, whichever narrative we identify with, you know, then we polarize. So recognizing manipulation and letting go of any need to know, because there's no knowing right now. And we've talked about this before as well. There's just no way to, there's probably nobody on the planet, the most evolved spiritual being who can see the future still doesn't know. Nobody really knows exactly how this is going to turn out. I mean, we know some things. We know that there is a new paradigm of the heart being born, that's our destiny. That's what's coming. But we don't know how it's going to look to get there. So letting go of the need to know and surrendering to what is unfolding, just surrendering to what is right now in this moment. That's about all we can do. Feeling whatever it is that we need to feel, whatever is happening in the moment, whether it's the despair and the depression or the anger or the fear or whatever, just feeling it and then letting it go. Remembering that we are not those energies. We are perceiver. We are the pure awareness through which these emotions pass, and this too shall pass. And then practice returning to joy. Practice returning to living in joy as much as we possibly can. And that includes, I would say, another practice, which is choosing love over fear. Remembering that we have that choice in every moment. And one of the quotes from the Dalai Lama, I remember, that helps me a lot, is he said that you can experience joy even in the midst of great challenge. And if anybody if anybody has the right to wallow in suffering, it's him, you know, because he had his country and his culture taken away from him, destroyed. And yet he has found a way to remain joyful in a true, the truest sense of the word. It's not that he hasn't suffered and not that he hasn't gone through a lot of grief and pain. He certainly has, but he's a great example for all of us of this very point that we're talking about today. And that's also been my experience when I go through great challenge. You know, I know that it's important to give the heart its due and feel what I need to feel. But then also when that's done, to remember joy, excuse me, to remember that I can choose those higher frequencies. And I'm going to shift gears here in a moment, but I just want to say one more thing about this. And it's that we can live in an awakened state. We can live in the heart, or which, whatever you want to call it. We can live in the new paradigm of the heart, even during the challenges of our times. And even if it looks really bad in the world, we can still have our internal love, our internal joy, the internal highest frequencies. And there's an example. Excuse me, I'm just going to take another sip of water. Pardon me. So there's another example that I think of around this, and it's Leslie. Some of you may not have heard this story, but if you've been around a while, you certainly know it. And the story of Leslie's awakening is extraordinary. If you recall the story, it was in the late 1980s, and she was guided to live in a tiny little apartment in Los Angeles, very close to the corner of two major freeways, the 10 and the 405. And, you know, she had always imagined that in order to become enlightened, you'd have to go live in a cave in the Himalayas or find some place similar where it's very quiet and peaceful. So she's living in this this little dingy apartment near these two freeways. And I met her after this. I met her a few years after she had her awakening. But she lived out in that apartment for a few years, and I went and she showed it to me later. I went and took a look at it. And her apartment in this little dingy building was right above the garage door. So every single tenant of that apartment building to get their car into their parking spot would pull up right below her apartment, and they'd press the remote control button to open the garage gate. And it made this horrible sound. And they would drive in, and then it would make the same sound coming back down. And she literally sat on a couch right above that door, and the only window in that room opened up right above the garage door. So all the exhaust fumes from the garage and from people idling in front of the door, all those exhaust fumes were coming into her apartment. So I think about that, and I think, my God, I mean, would I have stayed there? Would I have had the faith to know that I could actually experience my enlightenment in an apartment like that? So I think of her, and I think of like the stories that you hear of people who woke up in prison. You know, that they used their time in prison to sit in their prison cells and meditate. And they woke up. Even that vortex of a prison is the most horrible consciousness. You know, it's the most oppressive consciousness. And yet people became enlightened in these places. So like Leslie, in that very densely populated part of L.A., under really not very auspicious conditions, you know, she woke up. And so I think about these examples, and I think, you know, we can still live in an enlightened state no matter what's happening in the world around us. We can still live in the heart. We can still practice joy and love under difficult conditions. So these people are examples for me And I thought to bring them up because I thought, you know, since we're living through such challenging times, maybe we need to remember this. And maybe we need to remember that this is the very thing. This challenging time is the very thing that we all need to have a personal awakening and that the collective needs to have for the planetary awakening. This very challenge. You know, we get pushed and pushed into our challenges and we have to rise to the occasion. And we can use these examples that I've just given to support us on that journey of rising to the occasion, finding our highest state, even amongst the challenges, even amidst darkness. They say, in a really, really dark room, all it takes is one match to light the room. And that's a metaphor for what we're experiencing right now. In dark times, just hold your light and you will illuminate that whole area where you are. So I want to shift gears for a moment. One of the things I felt like speaking about today was to just take stock of the impact of the past year or so. You know, it's been a little over a year now since the world has been going through its changes with the whole COVID thing. And I think it's really important to remember, or let's say recognize perhaps, that there's been a significant mental, emotional impact for all of us as individuals and also for the collective. It's essentially been a collective trauma that we've all lived through, and we're all working with it in our own way. And things do seem to be coming around a bit, as I'm sure everyone's experiencing. You know, things are easing up a little bit, and although, you know, it's not what we would call returning to normal, that's by no means is that what's happening. I don't think there's any kind of normal to return to anymore, but most people are feeling a bit more relaxed. And so I feel like this is a good time to take stock and to realize that we're on this journey of healing. And so we can all be looking at where we need to focus on our own healing or where we need to focus on helping other people to heal. If you happen to be in a position where, you know, that's what you do. But it's also important to realize that a lot of what we're all going through right now is, how do I say this? It's a healing at a level beyond our comprehension. And we don't necessarily even need to know what's happening, just to know that it is happening, that a level of healing is happening beyond our conscious mind. So it's not necessarily something we can understand, and it may not be important to know the details about it, but just to know that it's happening and that we're doing our part, we're all doing our part to help heal some kind of collective karma, some kind of how do I say this, some kind of, it's almost as though the way I'm looking at it is we're healing different levels of energy. One level of it is our family of origin karma or energy, whatever you want to call it. But it's ancestral, essentially. There's a scientific field called epigenetics, and they've discovered in this field that trauma is passed down from generation to generation through genes. And so that's really what I'm talking about, is that principle that we're still working with ancestral trauma. If you've ever done family constellations, you know what I'm talking about. And we know that those family ancestral traumas do stay in the family for generations to come. And so I feel like what's happening now is, given that we're at the end of the cycle, we all agreed at some soul level to incarnate now and go through this healing work, whatever it is. And I don't know about you, I know a lot of people who are going through significant challenges, major changes, moving, a lot of movement happening, whether it's the movement, physical movement, like changing places, or just big changes happening in your personal life or at work with relationships or money or health or whatever it is. Massive change going on for a lot of people, or let's say intense change. And so sometimes we go through these internal experiences and we can't even tell why it's happening. We don't know why we might be experiencing such challenge internally. We might be able to label it and say, oh, it's because of this change happening in my life. But often it feels like a massive internal change and we don't know. So what I'm saying is that these healings are happening at all these deeper levels, and it's not even really necessarily important that we become conscious of it. Just to be aware that it's happening, that we agreed to it. It's not that we're victims of it. It's that somehow we're doing it. And we know how to do it, and we'll get through it, and it's all okay. There's nothing wrong. It's all perfect. So it's not just family of origin stuff, but it's also our own personal karmas from past lives as well. And also collective. Like I said, it's also collective trauma, collective change that we're all siphoning off as much shadow as we can through our own bodies. And whatever is happening for us, it can be so intense right now. Have you noticed that? I wonder how many people are feeling that. If you're not feeling it, consider yourself one of the blessed ones, and just be aware that everybody else who might be freaking out around you is going through it. So time to have compassion for the others who are going through it. And to remember that there's such an acceleration of the energies right now that we're all having to deal with just some especially deep clearing, whatever it might be. So wrapping up here before we move to the questions and sharing, but I feel like to say that it's really important as we take stock now of what's been happening for the past year, it's important to recognize that everything is different now for everybody. Everything is different. And to just acknowledge that it can be a really uncomfortable time, that you might find yourself having really difficult conversations with family and friends. And whatever is your challenge, just remember that it's important to witness. It's important to not polarize as much as you possibly can, as much as you can possibly avoid polarizing. Because this is why we're here. We are here to help carve out this new path through the jungle. Because it is a dark night of the soul for the collective. It is a war in consciousness. And we are at the vanguard of this journey into the heart, all of us on this path of consciousness, raising consciousness. And we are the ones practicing witnessing. We're the ones that can do this. We're a soul group that is strong and powerful, and we know we can do this. So also important when we take stock of that to remember what an exciting time this is. And I know that sometimes people can just blow that off because maybe it feels too scary or too challenging or whatever. But it's incredibly exciting if you tune in at that level. Can you feel that? Can you feel that energy in the air, this potential that we're going through a dark night of the soul. But on the other side of that, we know how this works for an individual's path. When you go through a dark night experience, you come out the other side into a whole new level of your own awakening and your own level of light. And that's what's going to come with the collective as well. And I know it's not this year or next year even, but I don't think it's that far away. My intuition, and from what I've heard a lot of other seers and psychics and teachers that I trust say, is it's the 2020s. It's this time, maybe a 10-year period or so, where we're going to be going through great, great challenge, maybe more challenge than we can imagine. But to remember that on the other side of that is this great awakening into the new paradigm of the heart. So this fantastic potential to remember, and especially if you can tap into those higher frequencies like joy that we're talking about, and love and inner peace, you can, at that level, if you can tap into those qualities, you can feel what I'm describing here, that there's this amazing potential for the new paradigm to manifest. And to remember, this is the last piece, but to remember that we are creating our own future in every moment. So much of what's coming is about what we believe right now, about what we're choosing right now. How much can we focus on creating the new paradigm of the heart right now in our own world? Maybe not focusing so much on fighting against something, unless, if your job is as an activist and that's your soul's calling and you love activism, that's different for you. But for many people, that's not the case. For many people, it's not about fighting. It's about manifesting that which we seek. It's about manifesting this new paradigm of the heart in our own world, and knowing that that's where we need to be. That's our purpose. It's what our purpose is. And it may mean that we go through massive change, but to feel into what your heart's calling you to, what is your purpose? Where do you need to be? Changing anything that's in the way of that, manifesting something new for yourself, birthing whatever that is that you need to birth in your own world, that's how we're going to birth something new for the whole world. That's how the new paradigm will manifest, when enough of us are doing that work. And it begins right now in this moment with whatever choice we're making. So I know that sounds a little cliche, but I hope you'll go with me here and just remember these basic principles of manifestation. So one exercise that we can all be doing between now and the next call in June is to ask ourselves, what can I do to create more joy in my own life? Or, like I said, what can I do to create a deeper relaxation, more inner peace in my own life? And those things lead to joy. Okay. So I feel like I've said what I needed to say today, and we did have a few questions come in, which I'm going to read. Let me get to them here. Excuse me for just a moment. I'm going to take another sip of water. So one of the questions was from last, the person said, they were talking about the call last month, and they said, I appreciate you speaking about the vaccine, and I feel that it's not for me. However, from what I'm hearing and reading, it could mean a loss of freedom, and this stirs anger within me. I would like freedom in my golden years. Well, I hear you. I absolutely hear you. And I think, we all want freedom. That's a place where everybody comes together, no matter what you believe about anything else. So very important to be with the anger, first of all, speaking of just being with what you're feeling. And do whatever work you need to do around your anger. There's all kinds of ways to deal with anger. First of all, is acknowledging it, naming it, which you've done. welcoming it. Sorry, there's a plane going overhead. I hope you can still hear me okay. You know, just being with that anger and looking at where that comes from and what that's about. And I think, you know, you mentioned freedom, and I think so much of what we've been going through and what we're going to continue to go through is about freedom. So I think that's why I chose to read this question out loud, or this sharing, is because really so much of what we're circling around with all of these issues is the issue of freedom. And, you know, that's going to involve clearing fears and angers, fear and anger and any other shadow that might be around this. And so I guess freedom is an issue that we'll keep coming back around to time and time again in the coming years. And in fact, I think what's happening in the world right now is mainly about this, not as much about the other various issues that we might be being told are at the top of the list. A lot of it's a distraction. Maybe a lot of it's a distraction so that we won't look at this issue. And I feel like we're all being asked to look at freedom and what it means to us. So it's something we can all be sitting with, no matter what your opinions, you know, no matter what narrative you're drawn to. But to look at what do you think and feel about freedom, and you know, what does it mean to you, and what are you willing to do for freedom, and what are you not willing to do for freedom? And I might have said this last month. Forgive me. I've had so many conversations at this point. I can't remember what I said last month and what I said just a week ago. But I know that I've met many people who. They chose to get the shot in the arm because they wanted the freedom to travel. They wanted the freedom to go certain places that they couldn't without it. You know, I know people who chose to get it for all kinds of reasons, and people who have chosen not to get it for all kinds of reasons. But if we do whatever we do, whatever we believe, I do feel it's important that we circle back to this issue of freedom. Let me give an example. There's just a little story to share here. When we talk about freedom and what it means to us, what I remember was an event that Leslie led in 2001. It was September of 2001, and it was the days. Like literally the day before 9/11, it was September 8th, 9th, and 10th, a three-day workshop in Berkeley, California. Tuesday was September 11th, 2001, and the event was Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so September 9th, 10th, 11th. And some of you, if you've been around a long time, some of you might have been at that darshan. You might have remembered what she said, and I'd never heard her speak like this, but she spoke the words out loud, and I do have it on videotape. I'm planning to re-release it one day, but I'd never heard her talk like this, but she said out loud, she said she was talking to everybody about her experience of the energies of the time. And she said, "Wake up. You're Americans. You were born with freedom. And you're not aware of what I'm aware of, because I grew up in South Africa under apartheid, and every year was the same thing for 50 years. Each year there was a new law, a new restriction that curtailed our freedoms, until at the end it was the biggest police state ever on earth, enshrining racial inequality in a legal form." She said, "Every year was an erosion of our freedoms." So she said, "Wake up! Can't you see that's what's happening here to you? Can't you see you're losing your freedoms? You're about to lose your freedoms." She said that the day before 9/11. And, you know, at the time, I think most of us in the room were kind of thinking, what's she going on about? I mean, what, you know, what is this? And it wasn't a popular message. And maybe it's still not popular. I hope there's nobody just hanging up on this call because I'm bringing it up. But I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, what she used to say was that she said, my internal wiring is so attuned to that vibration of having your freedoms taken away that I'm telling you, I can feel it. It's in the collective, it's in the air, it's happening. And then of course, you know, I don't need to elaborate. We all know what happened after 9/11. Freedoms started being curtailed. And whatever you believe about that is beside the point. The fact is that it's happened. And, you know, whether you believe it was planned or, you know, somebody took advantage of the situation to grab more control or, you know, whatever you happen to believe, or, you know, whether you just believe that it was just for our own safety and our own protection for our own good and that's fine. All I'm saying, I'm not judging any of those beliefs, whatever you might be believing around it. All I'm saying is that it's something that we need to look at. We do need to acknowledge it and do our work in consciousness with it and look at how we feel about it. What choices are we making around those situations? And I feel so strongly about this. I'm really glad you brought up the issue in this question, and I feel so strongly about it that I do plan to offer an intensive one day. I don't know when, but I want to offer an intensive on freedom. What does freedom mean in our world, in this physical reality? And what does freedom mean at a soul level? You know, as souls, we have freedom to choose. And we can bring that freedom down into this reality in this physical world. That is our God-given right. It's our birthright to live a free life. And so what does that look like? What does that mean? How does that work? It certainly looks like it's not very free at times. And so what do we do about that? And how do we work with that? And so I'm really, it's a big, big subject, and it's too much to go into right now today, but I look forward to that. It's very dear to my heart, so I look forward to sharing that time with you if you'd like to join me for that one day. Okay, I think we better move on. There's a lot more we could say about that, but let's move on. I hope that's helpful to you. The second question that I wanted to read, let me get there. This person says, I'm wondering if you might address the Great Reset. Is there a way through this whilst still living in the 3D? Will we be able to travel again without digital vaccine passports? Your thoughts on the vaccine agenda? So let me see. This is such a touchy subject. This is so delicate. And I'm just aware that, you know, 90% of the people I've ever spoken to about this are so supercharged about it that almost anything I say is going to offend some people. And certainly that's not my intention. If you've been following these calls at all for any period of time, you know that that is not my intention. I am purposely not choosing any sides. For all the reasons I've already talked about on this call. But let's see, what can we say? So first of all, I guess the Great Reset, I think, you know, it sounds great, doesn't it? The Great Reset. Wow, that's just what we need. But I think what's being called the Great Reset is not what we think it might be. You know, while there might be a group of people trying to move an agenda forward and have us believe that the Great Reset is about one thing, it might actually be about something else entirely. And I feel like a lot of people who are sensitive are feeling that at this other level. You know, what a sensitive person can see is that it's really about a great awakening. You know, this is really what we're talking about is about the birth of the new paradigm of the heart, as we call it. It's this new heart-centered consciousness that's being born in the world. And so I would say, yeah, the planet is definitely scheduled for a great reset, but I don't think it's going to be about what a certain group might be, you know, trying to move forward, you know, a certain 3D agenda that might want to be moved forward by a minority of people. It's not going to happen. That's just not, you know, what's happening right now on the planet is that there's a wave of energy that's moving with the beings of light. And it's this wave of energy moving us into the fourth and fifth dimensions, into this higher state of consciousness. That's our destiny. That's humanity's destiny. And so anybody who stands against that is like, as Leslie would say, like farting against thunder. You know, it's just not going to happen. So I feel like, first of all, it's really important to remember that the benevolent beings who guide the planet are supporting us in every way to manifest this new reality. And so what we don't know is what that's going to look like. We have no idea how bad is it, quote unquote, ugly, bad, whatever you want to call it. How dark will it have to get before we see the light again? And I don't know. I don't know that anybody really knows. But the other part of your question is about this. You said, is there a way through while still living in the 3D? And I would just say, absolutely. I mean, that's what we've been talking about on this call today. It's your choice what dimension you want to live in. You can choose in any moment to live in the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension or the new paradigm of the heart or whatever you want to call it. But those higher frequencies, that's your choice. You can live in that right now if you want to. And imagine, you know, the more of us who are making that choice, well, the quicker and easier it's going to manifest. But we need to be the ones to do that. You know, there's no savior that's going to come in and do it for us. We have to make those choices ourselves. We have to do the work. But so that's my answer to that part of the question. Is there a way through? Absolutely. The way through is everything we've been talking about on today's call and in previous calls. So let me, there's one more thing to say about it. I want to say, I think we've already talked about it. It's essentially that, like the Dalai Lama said, even during challenging times, you can be joyful. You can have an experience that's very different from everybody else, and your ability to do that will be contagious. You will be that one light in the very dark room, and everyone will gravitate to you and want to know, what is your secret? How can you remain joyful during such a challenging time? And that's how it becomes contagious, and you get more people waking up. So it's this wave of energy sweeping the earth that it's all in support of this. So any, like, you take one step, spirit will meet you 10 steps. Huge amount of support for those of us making those choices for the higher frequencies right now. You also asked about traveling without digital vaccine passports. Will we be able to travel without them? And, you know, I have no idea. I really, you know, I've heard about this. And my experience coming over from South Africa was I just, you know, I had to take a COVID test before I got on the planes, and it was kind of no big deal. They didn't shove a swab up my nose even. It's just in the back of the throat. And I was able to travel with not a problem. Only one or two people even looked at the piece of paper. I wasn't even necessarily asked to wear a mask on the planes or in the airport so much. I mean, I did, but it got to be too much. So I found myself taking it off at times, and people didn't say anything about it. I did it when I was alone, you know, and away from others. But I pray. My prayer is that doesn't roll out, any kind of a vaccine passport doesn't roll out, because, as I've said before, that's just an Orwellian thought to me. that would mean definitely that our freedoms are being taken away by a group of people who were not elected. And, you know, that's a huge amount of power. And I know that that's already happening in certain parts of the world. It already is happening in Israel, where you can't go certain places unless you've had the vaccine. And I know plenty of people, family included, who've had the vaccine because they're either going to college, or they can't get into a certain place that the college won't let them in without a vaccine, or, you know, their other family members had it and they don't want to be separated from them, so they're having it just to be with other family members. And, you know, these are all choices that we have to make, you know. Everybody's making their choices, and we'll all make whatever choice we're going to make, and then we'll have to see where that leads us. It's all very much unknown. You know, I feel like the shot in the arm is very experimental, and I know it's not for me. I've said that before. I got inwardly that it's not for me. But I hear from others that they know it's for them. And so, you know, great. Go for it. You know, if you feel it's for you, then you need to do it. And it's everybody's personal choice. Anyway, I'm segueing into your next question. You asked, what are my thoughts on the vaccine agenda? And I would just say, you know, again, I'm so sorry if I'm offending anybody. I certainly don't mean to. But it does seem like there's a lot of pressure to get it. And I know a lot of people are getting it out of pressure. And that's sad to me. Because I think it's really important to remember that this is our personal choice. It's everybody's personal choice, what you want to put in your body. And to remember that if you don't want to put it into your body, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything that your body or your intuition is telling you not to do. I mean, it would certainly mean changes, right? It'll like if somebody wants to go to college and they can't get onto the campus without a vaccine, well, then they need to decide what's more important, going to college or not having the vaccine. And, you know, you make your choice based on that. But to remember that it is a choice and you do need to weigh it, you know, because this is an important decision. And like I said, it's for some people and it's not for others. And I can tell you, I have had conversations with very few people. Well, I've had a lot of conversations and very few people was I able to actually have a discussion with about it. Most people are not even able to have a discussion about it because they just want to tell you their opinion, and their opinion is the right one. So that's really hard, and I just completely back off from those conversations. I just listen, you know, without comment. Because as you know, if you've been with people like that, you can't comment, you can't convince, you can't, nothing works. So it's just such a charged subject, and it's such a delicate subject. So I enter into these conversations publicly like this at my own peril, I know. But I feel like it's important that we talk about it. You know, it's really important that we name this. And just to remember that we're being encouraged, actively encouraged, to polarize and to separate. So I've found it really helpful to do the practices that we always talk about on these calls. And, you know, the witnessing is one name for it, but it's also practicing neither believing nor disbelieving. It's practicing non-judgment. It's practicing holding the tension between both sides of the polarity. And like Carl Jung said, the famous psychologist, what he said was, when you hold the tension between the two sides of the polarity, you open a path for a third transcendent option to manifest. And that's really one of our primary teachings at Core Light, is how to do that. How do you hold the tension between two sides of a polarity and just not judge and not believe or disbelieve either side, but be able to just hold that tension and allow room for something else to manifest, when it may take a long time. So we're about done now, and I'm just going to bring this back. This kind of brings me back full circle to where we started today, and it brings us back to that place where we realize that we get to choose whatever reality we want to create. So we have to ask ourselves the questions that are really important right now for this. And it's questions like, can we choose love over fear? Can we choose connection over separation? Can we witness whatever it is that we are choosing? And what kind of world do we want to live in? What kind of reality do we want to create for our world? Because the decisions that we're making right now, those are the ones that are going to shape how this new paradigm manifests. Because it will manifest. We are going to get there. But it's a question, I think, of how, you know, what timeline are we choosing? There are many different timelines we could go down, and some are shorter, quicker, and easier than others. So it's all a question of how many people are choosing the higher frequencies, really. And that's our practice. So I'm just so grateful to be part of this journey with you, with the Core Light community, that we get to do this together. We get to hold each other's hands as we're making these choices. And we get to support each other. So, okay, I feel complete. Let me just tune in real quick. We've only got 10 minutes left, so I think I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to have time to read any of the questions that came in during the call on the Q&A board. I apologize for that, but I'll take a look at them later and maybe carry some over to next time. And I do encourage you, if you want to share or if you want to ask a question, please write them in by email to courses@corelight.org, and that helps me a lot to prepare for these calls, to see, you know, what people are thinking about, what you want to discuss. It always adds to a richer discussion when I hear from you. So please do write in if you feel drawn to. All right, my friends. So let's go ahead and close for the day. We'll take 5 to 10 minutes to just have our final prayer or guided meditation. Let's see what wants to come through today. And if you've been multitasking, I would invite you to stop for a moment, just for a few minutes, while we close our sacred circle for today. Let's just get quiet and peaceful and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing in the light. Breathing out the tension. I'm just going to sip on the water here for a sec. Breathe in the beauty of life. Breathe out any shadow. Breathe in peace. And breathe out tension and stress. Breathe in joy. Breathe out despair, depression. Breathe in creativity. Breathe out boredom. So we call on the Great Spirit as we continue to breathe and relax and let go. And we make an offering of these polarities that we've seen today, including love and fear, anger and peace, freedom and enslavement, love and hatred, connection and separation. All the polarities that we talked about that I may be not mentioning right now, but we make an offering of them and we hold the tension between the sides, not judging either side, and inviting in the third way, the transcendent option. So let's name some of those higher qualities. We call them the ascended balance qualities. And I invite you, as I name them, to feel them in your body. This is a feeling exercise, not a thinking exercise. So let's all bring our energy from the mind, from the brain, down into the heart. Feel your heart center right in the center of your chest. You can tap it if you want to. Just tap on your breastbone a few centimeters, a few inches up from your sternum, right in the center of your chest area. Feel your heart chakra opening. Just awaken it a little bit and just send a little message for your heart chakra to open. And let's feel these qualities as we name them. The ascended balance words that we choose to live in. These are the choices we can make. We choose to live in joy and unconditional love. We choose to live in gratitude. We choose to live in loving kindness, generosity. Deep inner peace and relaxation, equality. Soul liberation. Freedom to fly as a soul in these bodies. Community. Sharing. As I'm saying this list, the wind is picking up here. I'm getting this delightful breeze. And I'm seeing the Spanish moss in the trees blowing and the palm trees swaying. So nature, the natural world meets us at this place. When we can feel those qualities in our body, we attune to the natural world. So magnificent. So I invite you to call these qualities in, these higher qualities, and feel how at that level we are one with all that is, especially the natural world. And just feel that. Feel that beauty. Your connection, even during a year where there's been so much separation, where we've had to isolate and wear masks and what have you. Even with that, just like the people who wake up in prison, or like the Dalai Lama who experiences joy during a genocide and a taking over of a culture. Even like Leslie, who was able to achieve an enlightened state in a not so auspicious location. Let's remember those people as our inspiration. That no matter what challenges we're facing, we can vibrate at a very high level without suppressing, without denying, without avoiding. With allowing those frequencies to pass through and then returning to joy and love. So I invite you now to feel those high vibrations in you, right in your heart center. And if you go a little bit above the heart center to the thymus center, the thymus chakra, which you can also find if you put your fingers on your chest. Find the place where there's a little protrusion of bone, just a few, like an inch or two below the sternum, below the clavicle, where the neck bone has that little dip in it, right in front, in the center of your neck, down below your neck. That's the clavicle area. And just right a couple of inches below that, you'll feel a place where your breastbone protrudes just a little bit, like a little knob. And if you tap that, that is the thymus chakra. And when you tap it, you can just gently call it to open for you. And the key associated with the chakra to open the chakra is, don't worry, be happy. So we're talking about joy over fear, and that's the meaning of that saying, don't worry, be happy, is choosing joy over fear. So you might find a big smile coming onto your face while you think of that, and you might find yourself getting happy. You can also fake it by putting a smile on your face anyway, even if you don't feel happy. And then the hormones will release anyway, and you'll start to get happy. And that thymus chakra is also known as the higher heart. And it's the place where we experience the collective heart. It's the place where we experience our, for example, our love of humanity, or our love of the earth, or our love of animals, or our love of the natural world. So isn't it interesting that when we open the thymus chakra through joy, we resonate at that vibration that connects us with nature, with the natural world, connects us with that higher love, the higher heart. No accident. So I'm going to leave you on that note. Let's say a little prayer before we close. But we give thanks to Great Spirit and to all the beings in the invisible realms who have surrounded us today in the highest love and support. We're so grateful for the gift of the Shakti that Leslie sends us and this field of love that we all co-create together. We're deeply grateful for the opportunity to share this time together, to live in love, to be born and incarnate in physical bodies at this amazing time when humanity is at its most pivotal moment in history, about to move into the fourth and fifth dimensions. So we're grateful for this opportunity. Even though it's a great challenge, we know that we are up for it and that we incarnated for this purpose, because we are strong, intrepid souls, fully capable of choosing joy and love over fear and the negative expressions. So we focus on gratitude and love and joy. We carry that with us into the world. Let's say an affirmation together. If you would like to do this together, you can say it with me. Maybe inwardly, if you're in a public place, or if you're in a private place, you can say it out loud. The affirmation is, I carry joy with me into the world. I carry joy with me into the world. I carry joy with me into the world. I choose love over fear. I choose love over fear. I choose love over fear. My love and my joy are contagious. Speaking of viruses, my love and my joy are contagious. My love and my joy are contagious. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alala ho. So I thank you, everybody. And before we hang up, just a quick reminder that very soon I'm going to be offering this course with our friend Anna Breitenbach, the animal communicator, the interspecies communicator. We're still mapping out the timing, but the course will begin in September and we'll open it up for enrollment in August. It's called For the Love of Animals, A Call to the Heart. And it's really, I'm very, very excited about it. We've never offered anything quite like this before. And I'm really working hard with Anna now on creating the modules for the course. It's going to be 6 modules over 6 weeks from mid-September to the end of October. It'll be such that if you can't attend, you can listen later, so you don't have to be there live. There will be 6 recorded modules on Zoom. And at least record, there'll be videos that have been recorded, and you can watch those on your own time with practices to do each week. And by the way, the modules are only going to be 20 to 25 minutes or so. It's not like previous courses that were, you know, it's 2 hours and it's a lot of hefty material. This is going to be much more lighthearted and simpler. So each module will be about 20 minutes or so, and then there'll be a live call with practices every week, and then at the end of the first 3 modules, there'll be a live call with Anna and me for a couple of hours, and then the same, there'll be 3 more modules and another live call with Anna and me at the end. So we're, like I said, we're just super excited about it. As you know, Anna's a dear friend of ours and such a special person, if you know of her work. She's just an extraordinary interspecies communicator, such a clear channel. And I get really excited about working with her, because whenever we've worked together, whether it was with Leslie or with me, there's always been such profound wisdom and love that comes out of our conversations with Anna. So I hope to see you then. More to come on that. Stay tuned. We'll be announcing it soon and sending out little teasers about it. So getting excited about that. All right, my friends. I love you, and I look forward to talking to you again in June. And meanwhile, go with love and joy. Bye for now.